I'm Auriel Miller. I'm director of the IWA. And for those of you who don't know us yet, we are Wales' leading independent think tank with a long track record of shaping debates and influencing change in Wales through policy research and advocacy through our online and print publications. And you all should have a copy of The Welsh Agenda if you're a member. And the next one will be out within a couple of months. We provide platforms for robust comment and debate and agenda setting events. Most importantly, we're a membership organisation with nearly 1,000 members right across the country and much further afield too. We're funded by our members, the events we run ourselves and independent trusts and foundations. Very importantly, we're politically independent and we don't represent a specific sector, trade or interest group. Instead, what we try and do is bridge policy and institutional divides and show what might be possible when we work together differently, seeking consensus where possible and robustly challenging the status quo when we need to. We're especially interested in identifying and facilitating long-term change on issues that will make a difference to Wales's economy and democracy. Those are our two key areas of focus. We run highly regarded training sessions on how devolution works in practice, supporting people across Wales and indeed the UK to get their heads around how to shape effective policy using their own experience and expertise. And if you'd like to know more about what we do and to support us, please do join us as a member and help shape Wales's future with us. Okay, to our media and democracy work. So many of you who followed the IWA's work over recent years will know that we've been looking at media policy for well over a decade and a half now. So this is part of a long-standing interest. The Media and Democracy project that my colleague Dylan runs published its first papers at the end of 2022. Citizens' Voices, People's News was published in November, subtitled Making the Media Work for Wales. It platformed the recommendations of a citizens' panel of 15 people from all walks of life across Wales. And in the same month, we published part one of the research on broadcasting regulation that you're going to hear more about today. And there are links in the chat to all of these pieces of work. A little bit of housekeeping before we get started. Do please introduce yourselves and say hello in the chat. We're really happy to see lots of our members joining, but also some new faces. We've got people from Welsh Government, from the Senate, from Cardiff University, from City University of New York, Cardiff Council, S4C, Ofcom, and many more. And do please share your email if you're willing to be contacted by other attendees. Please remember all chats and questions are recorded. We'll be doing a Q&A at about 11:45. So do please put your question in the chat function on Zoom and I'll be moderating those later on. We're recording the event, so if you don't want to appear in the recording, please keep your cameras turned off. And we'll be finishing at 12 o'clock, so we're very good at keeping time. If you do feel inspired to tweet, you can use @IWA_Wales, and we suggest using #IWAMedia as a hashtag. Video and audio of today's event will be made available via our YouTube and podcast channels as normal. And I'm now going to ask Dylan Moore, our Media and Democracy Policy Lead, to host a discussion of this paper with Dr. Marlene Komorowski and Dr. Enrique Uribe Youngblood, who carried out the research, before we open out to Q&A from our audience. We'd really welcome your contributions. We know we've got a number of interested stakeholders in the audience today. So do please get thinking about questions as we go and upvote those questions you think would be interesting ones to answer. Thanks very much indeed. Dylan, over to you.
Diolch, Oriol. Thank you very much indeed. And bore da pawb, croeso cynnes I chi gyd. Welcome to you all. And as Oriol says, it's really great to just scan my way through the list of people who are here and to see some of your faces and just to see that this is such a knowledgeable and experienced audience for this event. So I'm sure the Q&A will be really, really interesting at the end. So I'm just going to share my screen just to bring up the presentation. Okay, so you've heard a little bit about the IWA. But this work has been produced in conjunction with Media Cymru, and they have supported the work through offering Enrique as associate researcher, in addition to Marlene, who led the research, having won the tender for this work. So Marlene, I'm not sure whether Marlene is with us yet, but we're going to crack on. But first of all, I'm just going to talk a little bit about the context for this, which many of you will know. And of course, this is a global issue that we're grappling with. Obviously, we're focused on the situation and the broadcasting landscape here in Wales. But it was really important that we acknowledged that some of the issues that pertain to Wales are common, particularly across Europe. And going back to that, the right-hand side of your screen there on the red side, research from the European Audiovisual Observatory back in 2016 said that local and regional television services are by far the most affected by the global financial crisis, resulting in some catastrophic situations. And as well as that, we're aware that, you know, that phrase local and regional is politically contested because, of course, in Wales, we're talking about a national situation, a sub-state situation. So we wanted to look across Europe at different countries which had asymmetrical devolution and look at where Wales compares to those. And then the next quote there on that side comes from a report that we really think is worth flagging up, that this was very much a precursor to this work, which was exploring the devolution of broadcasting. How can Wales get the media it needs? Now, that was a report from the Culture Committee of the Fifth Senedd, chaired by Bethan Syed. And that report was a really, really interesting set of recommendations and kind of set the direction for Wales, really. The idea that broadcasting might not just be something that you just take from Westminster and give to Wales, but actually that the most germane question to ask, and we agreed with this, is not should broadcasting be devolved, but how much of broadcasting should be devolved and how can Wales's voice in the broadcasting landscape be strengthened? So we were looking at all of those questions, not merely just at the straightforward devolution of broadcasting, if you like. And then, of course, the context changes again this year, or last year rather, 2022, with the cooperation agreement between Welsh Government and Plaid Cymru and the setting up of an expert panel. And what's notable about that is that it was made in a very overtly political context. And the way that that was framed was as follows: with devolution under threat from this Conservative UK government, we must send a clear message to Westminster that the Senedd is here to stay and decisions about Wales are made in Wales. So this whole question of broadcasting regulation, this whole landscape, very complicated and hotly contested. And then on the left-hand side of your screen, on the white side, more immediately for the IWA and as part of our Media and Democracy project, which is now a year into its work, as Auriel says, we've started from the point really that the Culture Committee of the Fifth Senedd left off at. Welsh Government should work with the UK Government to improve accountability of public service media organisations to the Senedd through devolution of specific broadcasting powers. And I think probably we would all agree that that aim that we've set ourselves in terms of getting the two governments at either end of the M4 to work together on this is perhaps easier said than done. So I don't know if Marlene is with us. Marlene, if you're here, I wonder if you could make yourself known. Not yet. Okay, so Enrique, I'm going to come to you on this. So we set ourselves this three-part task of this research. And what we thought at the outset was that there was no one-stop shop, if you like, to see the legislative and regulatory frameworks governing broadcasting in Wales. So if we were going to be feeding in usefully to the work of the expert panel that had been set up, we really needed to map out the landscape and make it as clear as possible for them and for others as to what the current arrangements are. So Enrique, I wonder if you could just talk us through a little bit about what that work revealed in terms of part one of our research and creating this regulatory map.
Yeah, well, the first thing, Dylan, thank you very much for having me here, is to show that it's not as straightforward as one would like, that it would be very clear to see what each of the two columns that are presented there with DCMS on one side and Ofcom on the other, of exactly what goes in the remit. And actually, as you can see from the map that you're looking at this moment, is how this is divided into various different ways in which these two have an impact upon what we would consider to be the broadcasting policy. So the first thing that we thought that it was very important to bear in mind was that we had to look through all of these different pathways and to understand them clearly to be able to mention to any type of recommendation that could be brought forward to see how it would look like if we would try to think of a different way in which broadcast would be regulated in Wales. So the first thing that I would like to make people see, and are all of these tiny little connections that you can see, is how difficult it would be to define clearly the pathway through which regulation has impact upon the different elements of broadcasting. And that was fundamental for us to understand, to be able to then say what or if anything should be changed or could be changed, in which way it could be, it would depend on how we understand all of these connections.
Yeah, thanks, Enrique. I mean, this was really our starting point. And as you say, it was really a matter of getting our heads around the complexity of the current situation. And I think when we come to the end of the presentation and our recommendations, you'll see that we arrived at a place that I did not anticipate when we began this. The idea of creating all of these arrows and making sure that we understood where the flows and where the connections were between various bodies, between different functions of various regulators and the broadcasters themselves. We were thinking maybe it's a case of kind of rewiring this map and just taking some of these functions and tinkering around with them to come up with this idea of looking at specific bits of broadcasting that could be devolved. And we ended up in a very different place to that. And that was after part two and part three, which you can see outlined there. So once we'd given ourselves this overview of the legislative and regulatory frameworks governing broadcasting in Wales, we moved on to look at oversight models for media and journalism in a selection of other countries with devolved governance frameworks in order to provide comparison with Wales. So we'll look now at the series of case studies before moving on to part three, which was, once we had those case studies in, thinking about that and thinking about what potential regulatory and non-regulatory solutions we could recommend that are taken forward here in Wales. So, Enrique, I wonder, as we just have this slide on the screen for people to digest, whether you could just talk us through why we chose the four countries that we did, because they're all very different to Wales, but they've all got something that we wanted to kind of hook onto and learn from.
Yes, Dylan, as you were just mentioning, I mean, one of our main interests was to have different perspective, different varieties in which this type of devolution of broadcasting had worked out with, and trying to bear in mind things that were relevant in the sense of cultural specificity, minority languages, and also in understanding different types of regulatory systems that exist for broadcasting in different parts of Europe. And we tried to make it so that it was something that was contemporary, I mean, that it could bring us some information about what was happening now in Wales and in relation to what is happening in those places, and try to get a variety of possibilities just to understand what their advantages and disadvantages have been as well in time, so that we could see what could we learn from them and what could be good inspiration, let's say, for the measures that we would consider that would be useful for the case of Wales. So that's why we decided to take on Spain, Germany, Belgium, and the Netherlands, trying to see all of these different varieties from complete devolutions to more centralized systems, and to see what has happened or what has been the latest changes that they've seen in the last couple of years. And that's what we tried to do, is look at different systems, not to try to see just the ones that were very similar, but rather to try to get the whole array of possibilities that we could think would bring a light that would be useful for our recommendations.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for that. So what we'll do now is we'll just go through each of these countries one by one, just to talk a little bit about what the regulatory frameworks and the broadcasting landscape is like in each of these territories, and also drawing down the particular lessons for Wales that we identified. So we're going to start with the case study that you worked on in particular, Enrique, which is the case of Spain. And not just Spain, we zeroed in, didn't we, on some of the particular autonomous communities there, which have obviously kind of social and linguistic and political parallels with Wales in many ways.
Yeah, exactly. As you were mentioning, Dylan, I mean, in Spain, after the constitution, it was part of the devolution to the different autonomous regions and Spain autonomous communities. It was the devolution also of broadcasting. So ever since 1979, they started developing their own broadcasting structures and systems in each of them. And we decided to hone in on three of them because are the ones that also have a considerably large minority language community and a different culture. So to see how they were developed and what happened with them ever since. Currently, because of the changes in the law of 2010 and then new law on communication for the Kingdom of Spain from 2022, there is one major regulator that has been established for the whole of Spain, whereas because of the devolved powers to the autonomous communities, these autonomous communities can develop their own legislation in terms of broadcasting and their own constitution of their own public service broadcasting, as well as they can establish their own independent regulator for their autonomous communities if they want. Now, if they do not, they will still go to the remit of the National Markets and Competition Commission, which is the one in charge of regulating and checking and overseeing all of the broadcasting of the whole of Spain. Now, each of these autonomous communities has developed their own public service broadcasting system. They're mostly based on the same system that it's for the whole national broadcasting system of Spain. They follow kind of the same structure in that sense. And the problems that they had was with the economic crash of 2008 and all the changes that implied because of the way that the broadcasting system is financed in Spain, which is directly through an agreement of the local or the autonomous community parliamentary system. So they were all, they received very, very massive cuts in 2010, which had a long-lasting effect upon all of the public service broadcasting in these autonomous regions. However, they consider that because of the specificities of the autonomous regions and their culture and the language, it was important for them to develop independent regulators in each of the autonomous regions. However, it is only Catalonia which has gone on to develop its own audiovisual communication council that oversees the public service broadcasting and all of the processes that go deal with broadcasting in the case of the autonomous community. Now, this creates a two-tier regulatory role, which is very interesting in our case, that you could have one that it's in charge of regulation within the autonomous community and one that is a national one. And it refers to which of the broadcasting goes to more than one of the autonomous communities, goes beyond one of the autonomous communities or not, and what affects the whole nation. So this is an interesting two-tier system that might be relevant for Wales. Now, the problem that we found with this is because of the funding cuts that I mentioned, there was also a lot of funding for the local regulators. So that had a big impact on what they could do and how they could check on or oversee the broadcasting. And then on the other hand, the problem was that they reduced the number of people who participated both in the boards of the public service broadcasting organizations and also in the independent regulators, which led to a difficulty because of politicization taking place with the board members, because of the way they were elected by either the autonomous parliament or by the national assembly. So these are the two main things that we considered that were very relevant. And in the literature, there's a big discussion about that. And there has been a lot of criticism is on the way that the board members are appointed and how that has led to a politicization of both the broadcasting in the autonomous regions and the public service broadcasters, and also in the case of the regulators, and in this case, particularly in the independent regulator in Catalonia or the national regulator. Also with the problem that because the National Markets and Competition Commission is in charge of so many other things and not only broadcasting, also that broadcasting is just a tiny part instead of having an own separate regulator for broadcast.
Thanks, Enrique. And it's interesting you mentioned the politicization. What we also discovered or kind of brought to the fore through this work really is the strong link between broadcasting regulation and more fundamental linguistic, social and political questions. So this Spanish system was initiated in the wake of the Franco dictatorship when that fell and democracy came. This was part of giving back to the regions and nations of Spain that had been suppressed over the course of the dictatorship some power over their own media spaces. And I notice Marlene has now joined us, so I'm going to invite Marlene to talk about Germany, which similarly birthed a broadcasting regulatory system in the aftermath of the Second World War. So again, that kind of link between broadcasting and the need for impartiality was very, very high up on the German agenda at the time and ever since. Marlene, I wonder if you can talk us through the German case.
Yes, thank you, Dylan, and thanks for the patience. But I'm here right on time to talk about Germany. I'm German myself. So we chose Germany because it was indeed a very interesting structure that we found there, that we thought if it comes to looking what could be a model in the UK, it could be very well, very inspiring for a lot of different reasons. What we found, for example, that one of the issues that a lot of people see if we would devolve powers on regulation and broadcasting to different nations, to different regions in Europe, that you have a system that is very confusing with different regulations that are being put into place in different places, which is not that very attractive for the broadcasters or very difficult for broadcasters to handle then if they have to be under this different systems. And Germany is a very good example where we could see that they have devolved their powers, but still managed to have, and that's why it's highlighted here in red, a crazy national structure. So this has developed after World War II, where it was specifically important to make sure that central government and on the Bundes level in Germany doesn't have too much power on media because of fears of propaganda and the rise of extremism through propaganda and the media back then. So all of the power is devolved to the Länder in Germany, and there are also 14 different authorities that have been formed. But they are then united again in an umbrella organization called Die Medienanstalt. So we have 16 different laws, but again, these are then compiled into interstate treaties as regulation for the broadcasters, so that even though it's devolved, all of the federal states in Germany have a vote and a saying in changing this interstate treaty, which is basically the law of regulating and the media policy for all of Germany then. But the Bundes level government doesn't have any power into making decisions for media policy or media regulation. So again, it's devolved, but through these interstate treaties and the collaboration between all of these different powers, we have a quasi-national structure with a common framework for broadcasters and for the audiovisual sector to work in, but have all of the power devolved to these authorities. So what makes this specifically interesting is that there is also a lot of self-governance of broadcasters. So even though the 16 federal states have the power over broadcasting regulation, still the broadcasters themselves are mostly accountable for the content and for a lot of decisions within the organization, specific if it comes to public service broadcasting. And there are a lot of governing rules in place that make sure that these the broadcasters and also all of the local broadcasters in Germany have a system of representation of the public in their boards, so that decisions that are being made about content and so on lies within the broadcaster, but then being decided by a representative body of a lot of different people. So how is it financed? There's the license fee that's actually very comparable to how it is in the UK. They recently changed it from a license fee from a device to a household license fee. So this was a quite recent change, and it's defined, and there's also a process, a transparent process of how it's decided how much, how high that license fee is and how it's being distributed to the broadcasters through a process that is predefined every 4 years, where there's an independent commission that makes all of these, the consultation with the broadcasters, and then makes a recommendation of the license fee settlement. And this is then being taken over by the federal states, which have to authorize it. That's also something that very much inspired us of how it could look like in the UK. So a list of the pros and cons you can see here, a high political independence and self-governance for the broadcasters, very high public funding per capita. If one of the lender and the governments there is not happy with the decisions that the independent commission makes, they can go to court for it. But then the court decides if this is a legitimate reason to change the license fee settlement. So again, high independence, but the local governments have a saying, and all of them have the same saying into the license fee and other regulatory matters. There is still no fragmentation because of these interstate treaties and these umbrella organizations that are formed. Limited power to local governments, though, and it's a rather complex system with many different bodies involved. So if you see what kind of different governing bodies and policy level authorities are involved, it's quite a complex system. But again, it also allows a lot of flexibility here for Germany.
Thanks, Marlene. So that's great. Really good overview there and detail from both of you there about Spain and Germany. We now move to Belgium, which is a very interesting case, Marlene, because they have completely separate media markets relating to the different languages in the country. And this dates back to the 1970s.
Indeed, Dylan. We included Belgium because it's actually one of the only countries in the EU where you have completely devolved powers and regulation. And that's what we found specifically interesting here. Like you saw with Spain, only some of the authorities take it over, or in Germany, it's still organized in these umbrella or interstate agreements. In Belgium, everything is completely separate. So you have, of course, the three language communities, that's the French, the Dutch speaking, and the German speaking communities, and all of them have separate regulators, all of them have separate media laws. Basically, the whole system, but also the complete media markets are separate. So you wouldn't necessarily watch, as a Dutch speaker in Flanders, the public broadcaster, which is in French, and the other way around. So you have it not only devolved on the level of regulation and policy, but also devolved or also separated into the markets. So if you look at our report here, you can see how something like this inspired us to maybe not go into a direction with our recommendations of completely devolving everything, because there has been also a lot of criticism about this system, that there is not really a united idea of how the media depicts Belgium as a whole and a Belgium identity that is being formed through it. So there has been a couple of academics who have argued that this is quite difficult in Belgium. We can also see they completely changed for the financing system. So you have in one country, on the one hand, government grants by the Flemish authorities, which pays the public service broadcaster via a grant by the government, and you still have a license fee for households in the French-speaking community. So this is something that allows you, if you devolve complete powers, to even make decisions like this of how your public service broadcaster is financed. However, what we still found there, and that's something I always like to compare to the UK, all of the processes of how license fee settlement is being done or how it's being regulated, or some processes and policies, are quite transparent in Belgium, the same way as it is in Spain and in Germany as well. So you have a fixed year cycle for public service broadcasting and the license fees settlement that is being made in French, or how high the grant is in the Dutch-speaking process. And this is still something that we found very relevant, because it gives a lot of transparency and a lot of security to the broadcasters, even though it's completely separated in Belgium to these different communities, language communities. That would be, in a nutshell, Belgium.
Thanks, Marlene. That's a great nutshell. And finally, we come to the Netherlands. And this is an interesting case because, as we've seen, the German system, Spanish system and Belgium system do date back decades. And there could be the perception in the UK and in Wales particularly that broadcasting regulatory systems and legislative frameworks are kind of locked in. So we wanted to look at somewhere where changes had come in very recently, and we found that that was the case in the Netherlands.
Yes, indeed. And you're completely right. If you looked at the other cases, there have been huge state reforms, and the changes in devolving powers and regulation on broadcasting has been part of these state reforms, where a lot of different other powers, other areas of competencies have been also changed. But this is a case in the Netherlands where they changed just recently in 2016 the way how regional broadcasters are financed specifically. So they didn't even change the devolved power of taking it away, but it used to be for 2016 in a way in the Netherlands that each of the local authorities had the power and the responsibility for the financing and the policy oversight of the regional broadcasters in the Netherlands. And in 2016, they changed this and took this to the central government. So indeed, that's a case for us to show it doesn't have to come with huge state reforms to make changes in media regulation. And also what we found interesting when analyzing the case is that this is a case of moving power from a regional level back to a central level. And this had, based on analysis and experts who looked at it, negative and positive consequences. What is the positive consequence? So that's basically where we ended up with this idea of we don't want to make the system too complicated in the UK when we devolve powers, because they said it's a good thing for the regional broadcasters that they now only have to argue and make a management plan with the central government through an umbrella organization that was installed after 2016. And they are representing all of the regional broadcasters and make all of this policy decisions and processes to argue for financing and content and so on their behalf. So that's something that made it easier after 2016. But as soon as it was moved to the central government, there was a huge budget cut for regional broadcasters overall. So this has been criticized a lot, that by taking the power away from a regional level to the central level, the local or the provincial authorities suddenly didn't have any power anymore to decide how much finances goes into the regional broadcasters. And there was also arguments that specifically the local minority language broadcasters like Frisian would suffer the most under this new system. Because it's still quite recent and it only has gone through now one cycle of a new management plan for the regional broadcasters, everyone now looks at the Netherlands, what happens now in the next cycle, but there has been this clear negative consequence of budget cuts. So we found that also as a good point to put into the report to see, okay, what would that maybe mean the other way around if we go to a devolved solution in the UK.
Thanks, Marlene. So we move on to five key principles. It's probably worth saying at this point in our discussion and our presentation that this morning might well have been a lot to take in. And it's worth checking in the chat. I think the link is there to the report. It's certainly live on the IWA website. But I found this a lot to digest when Marlene and Enrique had gone off and done this work and kind of cast the net all across Europe. There's all this information, all of these different systems. So the question then is, well, okay, so what does this mean for Wales? How can we use this to move forward here? And before going straight to recommendations and straight to thinking of solutions, what we thought that would make sense is to kind of logically think through what we wanted to be the principles underlying what we were going to recommend. And some of these statements read like common sense, but actually it's the job of the IWA in this case to produce the evidence base to underpin what we might then go on to see as common sense to underpin the recommendations. So just to talk through how we arrived at each of these. So, I mean, first of all, I think, you know, hopefully most of us would agree with the fact that public service broadcasting is a key pillar of the Fourth Estate, of paramount importance to the health of our democracy, and should continue to be publicly funded. You know, lots of us would agree with that on principle, but I think it's important to kind of outline the fact that, having looked across Europe at all of the different situations for what is defined largely as regional broadcasting, or what we might think of in Wales as our national broadcasting, the threats are huge, both in terms of funding and in terms of the quality and the content of broadcasting, because of things like the streaming services that we know about that are taking particularly younger demographics away from public service broadcasters. So if public service broadcasting is going to survive into the 21st century and be meaningful for audiences and citizens in Wales moving forward, then we need to recommend something that is going to commit to public service media going forward in terms of public funding. And then the second principle that we outline here is just that learning, really, from looking across how closely broadcasting regulatory systems are linked to the construction of entire states in terms of Germany and Spain and Belgium particularly. And what we contend, I suppose, is that broadcasting regulation for Wales hasn't really kept up with the current reality of devolution. The social and linguistic and political realities that we live in, with, you know, the last decade, different governments from different parties running each of the four nations of the United Kingdom, and what that has meant for a kind of tug of war over powers in some respects. Also, of course, the development, you know, in terms of the various Wales Acts and the Welsh Language Act. You know, broadcasting regulation in its entirety hasn't been looked at, and, you know, major changes have not been made since all of these other social, linguistic and political developments have taken place. And then third, you know, and this will come through very strongly in the recommendations, is the role of Welsh citizens and, you know, who public service media is supposed to serve. So, you know, we think that decisions about broadcasting policy and regulation, if it's impacting Welsh citizens, then it should be at least ratified through Welsh public bodies. And if we look back, and we'll see in a minute the rewired framework, the rewired regulatory map that we published in part one, when we look at that, we see that, you know, some of these decisions are basically unilateral decisions on behalf of the Secretary of State in DCMS. And then fourth, decisions about funding broadcasting across the four nations should be made by a body composed equally of representatives from England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. And I suppose what we'd flag up there is the kind of England problem, if we want to call it that, in terms of devolution to Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland. But obviously the English situation being wrapped up in UK government policy. And it's coming up with a solution that works for all four nations. It's difficult to kind of separate Wales and look at Wales in isolation, because obviously we do live in a United Kingdom. And then finally there, to maintain the integrity of the media and the health of our democracy, policy making around broadcasting should be done through an independent body, nevertheless answerable to elected representatives in all four legislatures. So what we were grappling with there was the kind of tension between wanting to ensure that powers remained with the elected representatives that we have, but also doing something about that potential for politicisation. You know, rather than just moving things from a government of one stripe to a government of another. So where has that left us? So obviously you probably won't be able to see the small writing there, but hopefully what you can see is that we have just suggested interventions in two key places. So when we originally kind of conceived of this regulatory map, as I said at the beginning, we were anticipating rewiring things. I was anticipating some really kind of technocratic changes right in the middle of the diagram. But where we've ended up is quite different. So in the left-hand column, where you can see the small green box, what we've done there is we've essentially said that some of those unilateral decisions that are made currently by DCMS and the Secretary of State in the UK government should be shared across the United Kingdom between all four legislatures, and that sitting with that should be an independent broadcasting commission, so that this is not a straightforward act of devolution from one government to another, but that some of those decisions about BBC license fee, etc., sit with an independent commission that all four legislators are able to scrutinise and to ratify. And then secondly, the big green column down the right-hand side is a recommendation for a completely new body that would look across the whole piece in much the way that we've done here. So rather than tinkering around with regulation, we anticipate or recommend an Institute for Media in Wales that would have a range of functions across the legislatures, across the regulators, across the policy tools, and across the broadcasters themselves. So I'll move the slide on, because I think we'll be able to see it a little bit more clearly on our recommendations slide. So this is the final one before we go into a Q&A. So as I was saying, recommendation one, we think that there should be an independent commission, that appointments to it were made openly via the public appointments process by the relevant ministers in each of the UK nations. So the politicians have an input, but they are not the ones necessarily making the decisions. It should be equally representative of the four nations, and then obviously elected representatives, then the legislatures, have confirmation hearings to ratify what has been decided. And then over on the right-hand side, the Institute for Media in Wales. So what would this be? And one of the questions we were grappling with, of course, with the expert panel looking at setting up a shadow broadcasting authority for Wales, we were considering, well, what would that body actually do? It can't be a funding body and a regulator. And so what kind of institution do we need? So this would be a media monitoring service that would be representing citizens and audiences in Wales. We thought that was the missing piece of this jigsaw. It would scrutinise decisions across the board. So those decisions made by governments, regulators, or broadcasters themselves that impact content and quality of media provision for citizens and audiences. It would enhance the visibility of existing accountability structures. So one of the things that we lay out in this research is the kind of list of things that Wales does actually have a handle on at the moment. And, you know, I would thank the work of the Fifth Senate's Culture Committee for their report as well, which was very, very helpful in outlining that. But we think that that needs more visibility, and in some cases would need more teeth too. What else would this body do? It would convene regular focus groups, commission research to further enhance Wales's media landscape. And of course, members should have relevant expertise and be representative of Wales's population. So just one note as well, before we move on to the question and answer session, at the bottom there, we did put in an alternative recommendation to devolve functions of DCMS straight to Welsh Government. And we've presented this already to the expert panel. And we hope that in considering different options, Wales can essentially move towards the media that its citizens and audiences need. So thanks very much for bearing with us and for listening to a relatively long presentation. I'll stop sharing now, and I'll hand over to Auriel to chair the question and answer session for us.
Great, Jochenvad, Dylan, thanks very much indeed. Now, we're really conscious that that's, you know, quite a dense presentation over the last half an hour, and you'll be still processing and may not have had a chance to read the full report. We've got 10 minutes or so for questions now, and we've got one from Robin Wilkinson, which we'll go with first. And given the difficulty in getting changes to the regulatory landscape agreed by Westminster. Would Welsh Government be better simply spending the money it's earmarked for a shadow broadcasting authority and so forth on content for audiences in Wales? And I wonder, Dylan, if you wanted to start with that, and then we'll pass it on to the others too.
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. I think if we just looked at content, and I think that is something that Institute for Media that we're recommending would clearly be looking at and be involved in scrutinising. But if we just remain focused on content, then we're never going to get the changes in terms of decision making that we think we need. I would keep it as simple as that, really, in terms of response. I think it's a both and situation. And that's really the point of laying out the regulatory map in the way that we have, that we think there are things that need attention, both in terms of the legislative frameworks and the funding mechanisms, and in terms of regulation, and of course in terms of content. And we can't take our eye off the ball in any of those areas, and I think that's why the Institute for Media would be such a vital addition to the landscape here. I don't know if Marlene, if you want to come in and add to any of that.
Yeah, very happy to. I think it's a little bit on the level of what you discussed at the end with the two options of devolving the power of DCMS directly as one of the options we also give. Actually, that as a process can be done. And it's also possible. And if we look at some of the recent developments, I think it's not so much about the content. It's quite often this idea of the Westminster deciding, oh, let's abolish the license fee, or Westminster deciding how through DCMS, how much money does S4C get? That's all points that just spending the money on content wouldn't resolve and wouldn't give any power to the Welsh government to be able to intervene. And we also said with the Institute, if it comes to regulatory changes, so if Ofcom wants to change licenses, that's something that's also very relevant for the Welsh audiences, that this Institute should be able to veto it and interfere if that's changes that they don't want. So I think it's not so impossible as some people think. It can happen, this devolution of power. The most beneficial way would be if all of the different nations would try to start this together, because this could create a truly transparent and an open system that gives all of the nations' voices enough power over regulatory changes to the broadcasting system. But if that's not the case, we have this alternative put in there because we think still a power on a lot of different matters should come to Wales. And this money of creating a shadow broadcasting authority is not only there, it's not the big money over there, it's also devolving the power, which is not necessarily a budget that needs to be given free by the Welsh government. Just some thoughts on the topic.
Thanks very much, Marlene. That's really helpful. I guess the other thing to, you know, bearing in mind who we've got in the audience today and a number of broadcasters and commentators here, if there aren't specific questions, because you probably need a bit more time to read and inwardly digest, I wonder if you have reactions or comments to what you've heard, both in terms of those four case studies or in relation to the recommendations that Dylan has set out. To anybody who would like to venture a response. Otherwise, I think we need to think perhaps, Dylan, about having a sort of follow-up conversation potentially, or thinking about how we're going to hear people's responses. I mean, from our perspective, the work that we do is often tweaked and refined by these sorts of conversations. So we're really keen to make that happen. But I see Debs has come through. Debs, you're a star. Thank you very much indeed. Debs is wondering, Debs comes from the Media Reform Coalition, if digital being moved out of DCMS since you produced your regulatory map has any implications, given that the future of PSB is digital. And I wondered, Marlene, if I come to you first on that, please.
Yes, the good thing is if you check out our regulatory map, we highlighted the most important policy tools that DCMS has. And none of these fall under the digital section of DCMS that would impact radio or television. So based on what we decided to focus on, there are no changes.
Dylan?
Yeah.
I think the one thing, thanks for the question, Debs. I think the one thing that I would say is what the movement of digital out of DCMS demonstrates is that the sands are shifting in this area very rapidly in any case. So it's kind of a case for like doing nothing is not an option. You know, Wales has to have a voice in the changing landscape around broadcasting and digital content as a whole. And I know there are a couple of people here from the group on public interest journalism working group that Welsh Government has also set up. And there's been lots of conversations there about the fact that, you know, we can't just separate off what used to be traditional print media from broadcasting, because digital means that lots of the work that various media organisations used to do intersects, collides, meets in the middle. You know, and you know, we talk now about public service media rather than public service broadcasters. So that whole question of the digital world is really central to all of this. So yeah, what Marlene has said about the functions that we've specifically talked about is absolutely right. But I think also just the fact that the picture is changing so rapidly that Wales needs to really do some thinking on this. And again, that's where the Institute for Media would, we think, come in and do a really good job.
Great. Thank you very much. Questions are coming through thick and fast now. Thanks and comments. Another one from Robin, which is, in a hypothetical world where broadcasting is devolved, can you outline any regulatory changes that would increase or improve content for audiences in Wales? Dylan, do you want to go to that one first?
Sorry, I was just looking at the question. Can you read the question for me?
In a hypothetical world where broadcasting is devolved, can you outline any regulatory changes that would increase or improve content for audiences in Wales?
I suppose, you know, in some senses, it's not for us to say that at this stage, because that would be a job for the people who would be doing the job in that hypothetical world. But I certainly think, you know, things like representation of our communities on screen would be, you know, a key area to look at in terms of what audience are getting. What do we see? Do we see our lives? Do, you know, people across Wales, do we see our lives reflected back at us in a way that we can identify with? You know, that kind of thing would be kind of near the top of my list. But, you know, I think that's not necessarily a job for us. Our job is to suggest that that body should exist.
Mm-hmm. And there's a question here from Maggie Brown, which is, have we shared the proposal for the Four Nations panel with other countries, for example, Scotland? And I can answer you that. Not yet, I think, is the answer to that. But it's certainly interesting in terms of what we might want to do next in terms of those conversations. So your suggestions, everybody's, in terms of how best to do that and the people to contact and where we ought to be having those conversations would be very welcome. We have, you know, at least another year of this project still to run. So we're open to suggestions and ideas. Dylan, do you want to add anything else in terms of what's already in the mix?
Yeah, no, I mean, I would just echo what you'd said there, Aurel, in terms of, you know, this is very much, obviously, this is a report launch. So this is very much a starting point. It's the end of one process, but very much the beginning of another. And it's really exciting to have the people that we've got in the room here today. And it would be great to potentially organise, you know, an event where we could have this conversation at greater length.
Great. And if that's something that you'd like, do please let us know. Richard, thank you for your comment, too, in terms of, you know, making sure that Welsh audiences' voices are heard when it comes to broadcast and media policy. We agree, unsurprisingly. And that's why we think, you know, this is something that needs to be generated, you know, by us, with us and from us in terms of what the options are, you know, in the IWA's raison d'etre is to educate people in what the options are, what the pros and cons of those different options are, so that the best decisions can be made for the people of Wales. So thank you very much indeed. I'm going to draw us to a close, and I'd really like to thank Dylan, Marlene and Enrico for talking us through the paper, and to everybody for being here and contributing to the discussion. It's going to take a little while to sift through, isn't it? So we'd really welcome your comments and suggestions. If you want to write to us, Dylan's contact details are on the paper. And if you're interested in a follow-up conversation, again, do please let us know. We're really grateful to the Joseph Rowntree Charitable Trust again for supporting our work on media and democracy. These things are so closely intertwined, and also with Wales's economy, which is why we do what we do. We are aiming, obviously, in these open and free events to always to identify issues that need much more careful thought and to articulate really clearly what those issues are and get people thinking about what needs to change, why it needs to change, and how it needs to change, so that we can all play our own part in making Wales better, which is our mission as an organisation. If you want to receive early notifications of future IWA events and recordings of all of our sessions direct to your inbox, you don't even need to go and look for them, do please join us as a member on the supporters page of our website at IWA Wales, and the link is in the chat. Thank you very much indeed. I hope you have a really good rest of the day cogitating on what you've heard this morning. Diolch yn fawr iawn.